I want to read tonight, please, from one passage. 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 5, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. And I'm just going to read six verses here from the end of the chapter into the commencement of chapter 6. I'm beginning to read at 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 18. 2 Corinthians, chapter 5. Verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Just to mention, do you see that word ye there? It's not, the word ye there isn't actually in the proper translation, because these Corinthians were already reconciled to God. But the message that Paul had was just simply this: be reconciled to God. Now, verse 21 is the key verse tonight. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Chapter 6, verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And we do look to God now, just for help tonight. What we want to speak to you tonight then is just the word that's in the text of this tremendous little part of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And that is the theme or subject of reconciliation. Now, I have before me five or six things from this passage. But what I want to just mention at the start is this: what it really means. You see, you could put reconciliation on a par with salvation or redemption, or whatever word you want to use. It's absolutely necessary for a man to be reconciled to God simply because of one word: sin. Sin has left man at enmity with God. He needs a change of mind about God. Sin has also left man, you see, at a distance from God, and he needs to be brought near. That's what this passage is dealing with. Paul has been given this wondrous message that every gospel preacher has tonight in the north of Ireland and further afield. It's the message of reconciliation. And tonight it's my privilege again to stand on a platform of wood and declare unto you that wondrous message that we have already been singing about tonight, that Jesus alone can save. Really, that's the message tonight, of reconciliation, that you need to hear. That tonight, in your sins, you can be brought near to God. You can know your sins forgiven. You can know that heaven is certain. And mind you, we're living today in a very uncertain time. It would be good for you tonight as an individual to accept the peace terms that are on offer in the gospel tonight, to accept this message of reconciliation. So there, that's the meaning of it. You're at a distance tonight, you say, from God. It would be an awful business for you to die at a distance. If you were to die tonight without Christ, could we lower our voice tenderly and say that you would be in the place the Bible speaks of as hell? That would be a disaster. Men today are hurrying on without a thought about God. And many today have breathed their last. And they've ended up on the wrong side of a fixed gulf. You see, the solemn thing of a little lifetime is this. We only hear once. I was visiting a dear man last night, a saint of God. He's in his 84th year. And he was actually just reminding me of that. He said, you know, we only live once and we only die once. That's what makes a lifetime a solemn business. That somewhere in that lifetime, a man, woman, boy or girl, they have to make contact with this glorious person of Christ if they ever want to be saved. Now, the first thing that I want to bring before you tonight from this passage is this. It's the source of reconciliation. We find the source in verse 19. I want you to listen to these words. God was in Christ. Here's the source. It's God Himself. This now is not, can we just say this? This is not a statement declaring the deity of Christ here. While I will say that I believe, of course, in the deity of the Lord Jesus, that He was God. But this statement is telling us this, that the source, salvation, reconciliation, as to its planning and its preparation, it's all to do with God. You see, the little hymn writer puts it like this, God could not pass the sinner by. Sins demand that He must die. But in the cross of Christ we see how God can save, yet righteous be. You see, God, tonight the good news of the gospel is this. And I'm thinking now of 1 Timothy chapter 2. God will have all men to be saved. There'll not be one person ever end up in the place called hell will be able to say that there was no other option for them. Because God has provided a salvation for all. We're going to see that in a moment. It's for all. And here's the tremendous source of this reconciliation tonight. It's God. You see, before ever Adam sinned in the garden, God had planned a salvation in the person of His Son. And so we read here, God was in Christ, potentially reconciling the world. I tell you, tonight we have a great God. And you see, it's very important to realize this. It's men, you see, that need to be reconciled to God tonight. It's not the other way around. God doesn't need to be reconciled to man. But because of your sin tonight, you know, I want to emphasize tonight just the danger. If you're in this meeting tonight not saved, you're in tremendous danger. Because sin is a deadly thing. We used to sing a little chorus. It went like this. A for Adam. S for sin, a deadly thing. A for Adam, who first sinned. And you and I from birth inherited a sinful, fallen nature. And says 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as in Adam, all die. Every man linked to Adam is going to perish. You see, tonight you're either linked to Adam, or there's been a moment in your life when there's a change has taken place and you're linked to Christ. Linked to Adam tonight, solemnly, you're going down. linked to Christ tonight, and you know heaven is going to be your home forever. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. And that just brings me to this point. I want to come now to the scoop. Is salvation just for a few? Listen to these words tonight. Reconciling the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God has moved towards men in giving the very best that he had. Says Romans chapter 8, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. I'm thinking now again of 1 John chapter 4. The Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. That is potentially. There was enough in the work of Christ to save a world of sinners. But the problem tonight is with men. The Lord Jesus Christ had to say in his day to those Jews, you will not come to me that you might have life. Tonight you can have life with a capital L if you come to Christ. The only thing that you have to lose by coming to Christ tonight is this. It's your sin. And your sin will keep you out of heaven. We would point you lovingly tonight to the one who occupied the middle cross. And you've been reading about it in your Bible reading in chapter 2 of 1 Peter, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. You're coming again now to chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins. And there was a brother praying in our prayer meeting tonight. He'll never suffer again. Never again shall cruel sinners set at naught our glorious Lord. The work is finished. And all men have to do is put in their plea. They have to acknowledge their sin. They have to repent and turn. And trust the blessed man of Calvary. Here's the tremendous scope. God was in Christ reconciling the world, potentially, unto himself. I'd like to ask you just at this juncture of the meeting tonight, are you saved? Or to use the words of my passage, have you been reconciled? Has there been a moment in your life when you've come back to God? When you've trusted the Savior? If you have a moment like that in your life tonight, then you can say with the poet, it is well with my soul. I sometimes put it like this. You're looking tonight at a man on the platform who's as sure of heaven as if he was already there. I mean, that's some statement, isn't it? And then you say to me, what's your confidence? My confidence tonight is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I go back to the 23rd of March, 1985, on a Saturday night. I can remember the time, 9:10. I simply rested my all on the Savior. And soon as my all I ventured on the atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered. You see, the Holy Spirit within gives you the power to live for Christ. We're not left to our own devices. If you trust Christ tonight, you get a divine person to indwell you the whole time of your sojourn down here. He'll never leave you. Here's the tremendous scope. I want to bring before you at this juncture that why do we the need of reconciliation? You see, this passage talks about the need. Notice, please, in the middle of verse 19, not imputing their trespasses. That's just a big word for sin. Sin. Every man, every woman that ever was born into this world needs to be reconciled. If there's no reconciliation to God, you'll perish. Man that is born of a woman is a few days full of trouble. See, we're only here for a short time. Whenever a man or woman breathes their last, they go out into God's eternity, never to come back. That's the reality. I mean, the old preachers used to talk, you know, about turning or burning. And it's solemn language, but it's true. This period down here, only for a few short years. We're going to come to the end of our reading tonight. We're going to see the significance of this word now. This is the day of salvation, but I'm convinced of this. It's fast coming to an end. I don't know if 2020 rolls course or not before the Lord comes. But do you see what's happening in China today? What has happened in Australia? And you look out politically, economic, every sphere is in ruins tonight. Crying out for a man to come back. And as I look at my audience tonight at almost 7:30, the question is this: if the Lord were to come tonight, are you ready? You saved. Mind you, you know, it's not how much money you might have in the bank or about how good a job you have. And those things are important in their own spheres. But am I ready? Do I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior? Can I go back to a moment when I laid and I trusted my all in Him? The great need. We're sinners by nature and sinners by practice. And we're coming now, what is God going to do about this tremendous sin question? This tremendous barrier to man ever filling a place in heaven. David said, my sin is ever before me. Dear friend, tonight, your sin will keep you out of heaven. Be absolutely sure about that. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. That's the language of Revelation chapter 21. It's in relation to that city. I'm applying it now just in the gospel. There'll be nothing that defileth in heaven. Only blood-washed ones will be there. Will you be there? That's the all-important question tonight. Will you be there? There's a little, just to point out in verse 20. Lovely little expression in verse 20. Paul speaks of being an ambassador for Christ. Really, you know, that's what I am tonight. An ambassador is someone who represents God. Mind you, it's a tremendous dignity. I feel a tremendous dignity in representing God whenever I stand on a gospel platform. There's no higher calling. But along with that dignity is a tremendous responsibility. To tell men, not only of their need, to lovingly tell them of the danger, and then to bring them to a verse like what I'm going to come to tonight, to verse 21, to tell them how their need can be met in this wondrous person that we have been singing about tonight, that Jesus alone can save. The early apostles had no other message but Christ and Him crucified. And tonight in 2020, it hasn't changed. The world might be changing, But the Bible remains the same. And the gospel remains the same. We preach Christ crucified. This is the only means that a sinner can get right with God, through the value of the precious shed blood. We're ambassadors. And Paul uses language like, you know, Paul uses a word that's mentioned in verse 20 a lot in his writings. He uses a word, beseech. It has the idea of pleading with man. Pleading tonight. And he uses the word, of course, which is very important in verse 20, praying, you say. Mind you, prayer is important. And he comes to the end of verse 20 and he says, be reconciled to God. That's the message. Now, I come to verse 21 now. I think the last time I was here, I quoted Mr. Albert McShane, and I know at least one man in the company who knows who I'm speaking about. Maybe there's more. But he said about this verse, he said that verse 21 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 was the most profound verse in the Bible. And if I was to stand here to 12 o'clock tonight, I could never fully explain it. But I believe it. And I divide the verse into three parts. A 10, a 4, and an 11. First 10 words. Listen to them tonight. For he, that is God. You see, we have to distinguish carefully sometimes between divine persons. He is God. Hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin. Let that sink in tonight. That's the first part. Absolutely profound. Listen. Sins on him. Now listen to this. Sins on him, but no sin in him. Wasn't possible. In order for the Lord Jesus Christ to be the sin bearer, he had to be absolutely holy, absolutely pure, or he never could have taken the sinner's place. There was no other good enough. There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven. Let us in. Every man you see in the world is touched by the same thing, sin. Here is the uniqueness of the person of Christ, being born of the Virgin. The declaration from the angel to Mary was this, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. But he was holy. I come now to that wondrous pathway, those 33 years. The book of the Hebrews describes it in chapter 5, verse 7, the days of his flesh. I'm now quoting from chapter 7 of the same book, holy, harmless, undefiled. Without a trace of Adam's sin, as man unique in origin, he was absolutely pure. And then you see when he hung on Calvary. Well, I'm now turning you to chapter 9 of the same book. Through the eternal Spirit, he offered himself without spot to God. He was holy in every department. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In him is no sin. He was the perfect sin bearer. But I suggest to you the first part of our verse goes even further. He was made sin. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that he became a sinner. Of course, I've turned this over in my mind many times, and of course, I can never get a really adequate explanation for myself. But what I've come up with over the years is this: he was treated the way sin deserved to be treated in those 6 hours of Calvary. 3 hours of sunlight was followed by 3 hours of darkness. And in the totality, he was bearing, he was putting away, he was taking away sin in all its fullness. What about your sin tonight? You see, if your sin's not forgiven, you'll be accountable for them forever. It's not an awful thought that one day I would have to stand at the great white throne and give an account for every sin that I've ever committed. But the great truth tonight is this: you can have your sins forgiven. And I'm coming now to this is the very message of the gospel in a nutshell. Martin Luther had a dream one night. I think maybe I've mentioned this before here. It's worth mentioning again. In his dream, at the end of the bed appeared the devil and said to Martin Luther, "Here's a list of every sin you've ever committed." Mind you, that would be extreme, wouldn't it? What was Luther's answer? This is the believer's answer tonight. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. As I look back on the past tonight and I think of all the sins I committed, I'm glad tonight they're all washed in the precious blood. I'll never have to give an account for them, because they're all gone as far as the east is from the west. That's how far as our transgressions been put away. And the hymn writer says they're all taken away. And here's the very basis for it. He was made sin in all its entirety for us. Them precious words. For you tonight. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. What are you depending on tonight for heaven, eh? I have been asked that question a few times, and the reply is always the same. I'm depending tonight on 4 words. Take me to heaven. Jesus died. Mind you, that's sufficient tonight. But nothing less than that will do. He hath made him to be sin for us. And I've really emphasized these 4 words, haven't I? Who knew no sin? Mind you, that's vital. He never could have taken the sinner's place. If there had been one, I remember a brother put, there wasn't even a pinhead in Christ. Holy. You see. What must perfect manhood have been like? We have never witnessed it. But we only have to read the Gospels and to saturate ourselves in the stories of Christ and the words that he spoke and all he did to see perfection in every step, in every word. He never had to recall a word. Even whenever men were doing their worst on him. And you've read it in 1 Peter chapter 2. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. No retaliation. He came to do the Father's will. He set his face steadfastly to go to Jerusalem, and nothing deterred him from that path until he went to Calvary itself. Between those two thieves, he suffered, bled, and he died that sinners might be saved. You saved tonight. Here's the very basis of the message. And then I want to come, you see, not just the message and the means. I want to come to the blessing of reconciliation. You see, he was made something that he never was. I want you to see, as we come to the end of verse 21, we're made something that we never were. It says we're made righteous. Get a hold of that tonight. Righteous. That means my sin is clear. It's gone. But it means more. It means I'm given a righteous standing in the very presence of God. And it's all because of him. Notice, please, the end of the verse says, verse 21, the last two words, just in case we might forget, it's in him. Everything that I have tonight is because of him. And without Christ, I have nothing. Could I just widen that a little bit tonight? Without Christ, dear man, dear woman, younger person in this meeting tonight, you'll perish. There's no hope for any man outside of Christ and what he's accomplished at Calvary. That's why tonight we'll be like Paul. We would use the words, we'll beseech you. We would plead with you tonight to get to that blessed man, to receive the forgiveness of sins, and be absolutely sure this Lord's Day evening of a place in heaven. Two ways before you lie, you a choice must make. One leads upward to the sky, the other to the lake. I'm thinking now of Matthew chapter 27, verse 22. I would think the most important question in all the Bible, the question of Pilate. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Your answer to that question will determine where you spend eternity. They said on that occasion, let him be crucified. His blood be on us and on our children. And mind you, that answer has reaped a bitter harvest right to the present day. Reject Christ at your peril. There'll be no heaven. You'll be brought under the judgment of God for all eternity. But tonight, if you were to step out in faith, John chapter 1 reminds us, but as many as received him, to them give he the power or the authority to become the children of God. If you were to step out in faith this Lord's Day evening, you'd be saved in a moment. And you'd be ready for heaven. Romans chapter 8 commences with these words, there's now no condemnation, there's no judgment of any kind to them that are in Christ. What a great blessing it is tonight to be in Christ. Here's the blessing then of reconciliation. Now, I didn't stop my reading at the end of chapter 5 for a purpose. There's a very important little point just that's brought up in chapter 6, verse 2, and it's this. And I won't prolong the meeting, 7:45, we're bang on time. But I do want to emphasize this. My last little thought is this, that's very important. I've already touched on it a little bit. It's the time of reconciliation. The time. And that's why we read in chapter 6, verse 2, about this very important word. He's speaking about the day of salvation now. The day of salvation began right back there in Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. and it has been running right through to the present moment. So you can see it's a long day. But the day of salvation is actually an extended period of time. It's not 24 hours. But as I've already indicated to you, I believe that day is fast coming to an end. And hence the urgency. That's the word I would use tonight. The urgency of men repenting. The urgency of men getting right with God. Primarily because of two things. One, death's on your track tonight. I'm always conscious that in a gospel meeting, I could be speaking to someone for the last time. And you could go out that door tonight and you might never hear the message again. The last time. It's appointed unto man once to die, you see. I was reading a reading from Genesis this morning, just my own reading about Isaac, and he said, you know, now I am old, the day of my death is drawn nigh. It's not just true of older people. Do you remember that Jairus' daughter was only 12 years old when she died? It's something that comes to all men because of the fall. It's an appointment we have to keep. But you see, it's the door to eternity. That's what makes it so solemn. And there's a part of man that will never be buried, and that's the soul. God breathed into man the breath of life. And man became. Notice he became it. He never ceased to be it. And on your forehead and on mine's printed these words, a creature for eternity. And all you see tonight as you look at me is the outward, the body, which will just go into Mother Earth. But there's a part of me. There's a part of you. It's a soul that will live the lifetime of God. It needs to be saved. Not only death, but I've already mentioned it. I think it's worth mentioning again. The coming of Christ. Just to mention this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we read about the order of his coming. But I did mention it actually the night I was here. In 1 Corinthians 15, it's the suddenness of it. And he could come at any moment. As I look down at the hall tonight, I'm going to ask you again, are you sure that you're ready for that moment? As you look back on your life now, every one of us, just a few short years, has there been that wondrous moment when you made contact with Christ? Do you remember the Apostle Paul met him on the Damascus Road, at midday? He never forgot it. The jailer met him at midnight. But it doesn't matter the time. But it does matter the occasion. Whenever I threw down the arms of rebellion and all my sin, I came to Christ. Because it was then that my eternal destiny was decided. Oh, tonight, just as we bring the meeting to a close, we would just use the words of Paul again. We would beseech you to turn tonight from your sin and trust the blessed man of Calvary, who, according to this momentous verse, verse 21, he was made sin. Or to use the language of Isaiah 53, God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Your sin has righteously been dealt with. You must come to him tonight. Confess it. And trust that blessed man for salvation. I think enough's been said. May God bless his word. Shall we pray? Father, we bow humbly in thy presence. We thank thee again for our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for what he means to us tonight. We thank thee for all he accomplished for thee when he suffered, bled on Calvary, and cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." We thank thee, O God, that he now occupies the highest place in heaven, and it's his by right. We've been thinking about his coming, soon coming back again. We shall see his face, soon coming back again, saved by sovereign grace. We commend this company to thee. We pray for every head bowed in thy presence. We ask your God to take us to our homes in safety just a little later, as we give thee thanks again for the gospel, as we give thee thanks again for the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, in his worthy and precious name. Amen.